In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we will join together in the beginning of this service day into praise and... Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for our gift of life and for this new day into which we have been able to awaken. Thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom you have sacrificed for us because of your great love. Be with us in these services through your Son and the Holy Spirit, so that your word would be explained correctly. We ask, as the disciples did, give us more faith. We pray as your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I will read from the book of Psalms, from Psalm 139, verses 13 through 18. And the words are heard in Jesus' name. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest part of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Thousands of years ago, the writer of the psalm has wondered at the work of creation of God in himself. Long before the birth of Jesus, people knew something about the human body, and they were amazed at how it was made, the bones and muscles and blood vessels. But what was the most amazing was the plan of God and the purpose that everything had. And so the writer of the psalm also wonders of this. Since then, people's understanding of their own human body and of the world has... Or we know much more about these now. Doctors know much more now about the human body, and we also know much more about the world and universe, and we can study the wonders of God and how great it is to be able to study and learn about the world that God has created. And we are still facing a great miracle. And we still wonder, as the psalm writer did. We wonder about everything that God has created and how He has created it. We have all kinds of ways to study the human brain, and we can even study our nerve cells. But we really still can't completely understand the human mind. Perhaps you have woken up and you are listening to this sermon in your tent or in your cabin or in your boat. Your eyes awaken and you start thinking. You can move and you can remember things that happened yesterday. And perhaps you start thinking of the tasks of the day and the cares of the day. This is a great wonder even for scientists, that we have this knowledge. We know ourselves. We can think about the past and we can also think about the future. This all has a great price, because we know that we have lived and what we have done before, but we also know that once we will die. He has put eternity into our hearts, as it is written in the Bible. He has made everything beautiful in His time. Also, He has put eternity into their hearts. But so it is that a human being cannot understand the acts which God has done, not the beginning or the end of them. We can begin this day under this same miracle. God has given all of us as a gift of life, or our gift of life. And I can say, as the psalm writer, that He has made each one of us great. We are great miracles, and we are all unique miracles. There isn't another person the same. We are all created by God. Before we were born, before we had lived even one day, God already had a plan for each one of us. At the same time, when we are so great, we are all at the same level before God and man. We are all equal. This was God's thought, and this is what Jesus always spoke of again and again. When Jesus, during the short time when he was preaching and proclaiming the gospel, he was facing this problem. People even made the matter of faith an unequal matter. Think, you are created by God. You are great. You are unique. All of your feelings and your thoughts are created by God. And even this, that God sees and knows you, according to the writer of the psalm, before you yourself have even had any thoughts. The question is of this, dear listener, that do we want to accept this gift of life? That with this thought that before I had even lived one day, all my days were created. The enemy of God, the enemy of the soul's main task is to prevent you, dear listener, prevent you from enjoying your gift of life, prevent you from enjoying this beginning day, your friends, and all the good things which God has given to you. The task of the enemy of the soul is to sow discontent, break love, and to sow bitterness so that we would not see all the good things that God has saved for you, and above all, what type of person God has created you to be. Our time with the social media does not make it any easier. In the social media, we can compare our own life with the life of others. And the question is the life that we share in the social media, is that our true life? Or is it just what it seems like? Or is it more important to show something which is not really true? The task of the enemy of the soul is to prevent us from enjoying the gift of life and our uniqueness which God has given us. God has given us life. He has created you just as you are. Many have received children as a gift, loved ones, neighbors, and friends. They also are gifts. Many have been able to hold their own small child, their newborn, and have been able to look into its eyes that have opened onto this world. Do we have the strength to accept these children from our hearts? Do we have the strength, and do we understand what kind of a gift we hold in our lap? In accepting this gift, it means that we accept them into our hearts, and it means that we look at those small children and we listen to them. Perhaps God has put those characteristics into that child, perhaps ones that make you aggravated, the ones that are found in yourself. Perhaps the child also has these wrong characteristics, these aggravating ones, which have to be pulled out. This psalm also says that we need to listen to them and bring them up in such a way that that child could grow up to be his own self, the person that God has meant him to be. God has made us in our own image, or he has made us in his image. We theologians try to picture God with the concepts that we, these, our own concepts, but we cannot do this. We are not able to picture God. We can only slightly picture him. It is the same with psychology. In psychology, we cannot understand the human man very well. And it's not a wonder, because God has created us in his own image. But it is important that we can study the human body through the knowledge that we have through scientific methods. These help us much. But we cannot explain the picture of God or the countenance of God. As the psalm writer has written, we have to just say that I am a miracle. Or a great wonder. In this time, and also back then before God was, or Jesus was born, the first philosophers said that you cannot know yourself. Since then, philosophers and self-help instructors and people write books, and they all try to understand the human or understand a human being, and they try to instruct us how we should live this short life of ours. They say to know yourself. But we have, there's like this great void, even though we try to explain what a human being is, even though scientists give us the means to study. With both hands, we try to grab a hold of something so that someone could tell us what is the purpose of our life, and that someone could tell us how we should live our lives. And the answer many times is, know yourself. Well, this is a good answer. It is good for us to get to know our own selves. But of this fear of death and this picture of God and this plan which God has made for us, these do not have answers. We have received as if a guide to our lives. The motto of these services also reminds us of this, that God's word is a light unto my path. God has instructed us, has given us a guidebook for our life. He has given us His own word and the Ten Commandments. And they don't only contain how we should live our short life, but they also contain the words of eternal life. This word and this guidebook has not been made like a self-help guide. We do not have to study it by ourselves. But God has also given us the Holy Spirit as our instructor and guide, and has put upon this world the kingdom of God, where we are instructed and guided. As it is said in the Gospel of John, I have spoken to you of this so that you would have my joy in your hearts and your joy would be complete. This self-help guide has not been meant to be used by yourself, this guide of God. It is meant to be used through faith and with the Holy Spirit and in the midst of God's kingdom. This kingdom which God has put into this world. This kingdom doesn't necessarily look very good outwardly, and it doesn't look very smart. But the words of eternal life are there. Jesus clearly states in the Bible, accept the Holy Spirit, whose sins ye forgive, for them they are forgiven. As you have received this gift of life, it is a small thing compared to the gift that God has given you through His love. God has loved you so much that He gave His only Son, so that not one who believes on Him would perish, but would receive eternal life. In the law of God, as we heard yesterday, in its short form, the Ten Commandments, love God above all, and your neighbor as yourself. We have to accept this love of God and accept the gospel. It's the best thing we can do in this life. But in this command, in the other part where it says, love your neighbor as yourself, dear listener, there is an obligation to yourself here. You are obligated to accept God's gift with a thankful mind. You are obligated to love yourself. If we are ashamed of all that which God has given us, and we do not believe it, then we do not do right towards this gift of God. But the only way that we can fulfill this gift of God and accept it is when we believe our own sins forgiven. With that sermon that God commanded us to preach, the sermon of the Holy Spirit, and so I also am able to preach to you, dear listener, all your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and precious atoning blood. Now we still look as in a mirror. We can only guess. But then we will see Him face to face. Now our knowledge is incomplete, but once it will be complete, as God knows me perfectly and completely. Apostle Paul joins in with the words of the writer of the psalm. We still do not know or feel, but it is enough that we believe that God has created us, has given us the gift of life, and has redeemed us. With this faith, we can trust that we will reach our destination in our heavenly home. Isn't it comforting that we do not know ourselves, but there is someone who knows us. There is a God who sees into our hearts and think. When God has created us, not even the smallest characteristic is in secret. God sees us and knows everything about us. He knows our selfishness, our feelings of anger, our bitterness. He knows us much better than we know ourselves. Isn't it so that God has created us? But despite this, even though He knows us so well, He still wants to save us. He desires that we will reach our destination, and that picture of God in us will be able to be brightened and become perfect. I think that there may be someone who feels, and this psalm ends with these words, "Look at me, study me, God, look into my heart. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." This is the Psalm of David. And we know how God examined David and saved him. And we know how God looked upon him and how Jesus looked upon him and upon us. And how Jesus looked upon Peter when he had denied him. And as he looked upon the robber on the cross and on the sinful woman in the home of the Pharisees. Just think, there is someone who sees you and studies you and at the same time is merciful. We can journey under this under these eyes, and we are even today called to believe, and we are called to come into the kingdom of God and come before the Word of God. I myself long for these words of eternal life, and I ask, can I also believe my own sins forgiven? We can believe in this way with the words of the writer of this psalm, that with this faith we will once attain eternal life. This is as the writer of the psalm says, this is the way everlasting. We want to stay on this path in God's kingdom. We want to travel, and we can trust that God, who knows us and sees us, will carry us to our destination in our heavenly home. In Jesus' name, amen.